Now I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Do plonk yourselves down. So who can tell me, what day is it today? Father's Day. It's Trinity Sunday, people. Get with the plot. The only Sunday in the Church of England that's dedicated to a doctrine. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning to hear about the Trinity and all that it means? I've had to dig deep this morning into my tenuous analogies box to try and explain the Trinity to you. So, we have the Trinity, God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I've got some ropes here with three colours, rather handily. So tell me, what do we know about God the Father? What do we imagine when we talk about him? The Creator, excellent. Any other words, God's the Father, the Creator? This is all very ominous silence, isn't it? I can see we're going to have to do our doctrine classes again. Right, so we've got God the Creator, often shown as a man with a big white beard in all those paintings. Think of the Sistine Chapel and that. So we have one part of the Trinity, God the Creator. We've gone for green because that's a good colour for creation, isn't it? So that's one part of the Trinity, if I can tie a knot. There we go. What's the second part of the Trinity? Let's try that. God the Son. Fantastic. We're getting somewhere. What can you tell me about God the Son? Jesus. Very good. He's got a name. We've seen. Saviour. Pardon? He did die to save us. That's good. We're getting somewhere. God the Son. Jesus. The second part of the Trinity. We've got God the Father, the Creator. And we've got God the Son, the Redeemer. We'll use the red one because he died on a cross for us. Do you want to tie it for me? There we go. Not too tight, because I will have to undo them at some point. There we are, too much. Fantastic. So we've got two parts of the Trinity. We've got God the Father, the Creator in green. We've got God the Son. What's the last part? The Spirit. And what can you tell me about God the Spirit? It's like the internet. You're going to have to explain that one to me. Oh, everything's there. You know. Fantastic. That's a wonderful analogy. The Spirit is the internet. It wouldn't pass Nicene Orthodoxy, but it does make good sense. Anything else you can tell me about the Spirit? He's everywhere, but you can't see him. Much like the vicar's eyes, he knows what's going on. Fantastic. So, when did the Spirit appear? Pentecost, last week. Good, you remembered that far back. We're doing well. So, we've got yellow for the Spirit. Who appears in tongues of flame. Just like a knot. There we are. And again, otherwise it won't stay together. There we are. Were you in the scouts? I hope not. Fantastic. So we've got three parts of the Trinity, haven't we? We've got God, the Creator. We've got Jesus, the Son of God, who died to redeem us all. And we've got God, the Holy Spirit, that mysterious part of God that appears at Pentecost and has made nothing the same since. Three separate rings, three parts of the Godhead. But of course, we all know the true mystery of the Trinity is that they're all one, aren't they? Ooh. That's great, thank you. We've got three parts, yet one God. It's the greatest mystery we have in the church. When I was at college, we used to teach every subject in blocks of eight lectures. And you could learn about anything in eight lectures. You could learn about eight lectures would teach you about the life and work of Paul. It would teach you about the Reformation. You could do the liturgy of the church in eight lectures. But when it comes to the theology of the Trinity, it took 24 lectures and 2 years to get through everything. And really, as you start to look at it, how do we have something that is both three and one? It can seem like a much more painful sort of magic trick that using philosophy and explanation and words like homoousios and perichoresis and hypostasis and communicado idiom, you have to use all these terms to somehow magic up this thing that is both three and one. And just when you've got there and you think, I understand this, where we're going, you learn in the very next lecture, the next week, that everything you've learned up to now is declared heresy in the 3rd century, or the 4th century, or the 5th century, and then you just want to cry, really. But that's enough about me and my traumas at college. The Trinity has always been a mystery, something we can't fully explain or understand. And we talk about it not because it's easy, because it makes sense necessarily, but because the Trinity is how we believe God is revealed to us. It is perhaps the most distinctive doctrine of the Church. Scripture shows us that there is one God, and yet he reveals himself to us as Father, as Son, and as Holy Spirit. That's what we celebrate today. So how do we try and understand the Trinity? Our Bible reading today has Jesus describe the work of the Holy Spirit as one of sharing. The Spirit doesn't speak on his own, but shares what he hears from God the Father. Jesus says that all that belongs to the Father is mine. That's why the Spirit will receive from me when he makes known things to you. The Holy Spirit shares the good things of God that belong to Jesus and to all those who follow Jesus. So what do you think the good things of God we have to share? What is the good things of God that we perhaps want to share with the world? Any ideas? Love. Fantastic. I'm going to illustrate this. I'm going to need 3 volunteers. Is anyone going to volunteer? Come on. It's not that scary. Come on, Daniel. Come on. Today, as you said, is Father's Day, the lesser festival of the Church, as it were. And I know this morning because I woke up and I got the wonderful present of a dirty nappy to deal with, which was nice. But then I got a card and some DVDs, so it looked slightly up after that. Father's Day is a day which is about celebrating relationships between fathers and children. And that idea of relationship is key to how we can understand the Trinity. The Trinity isn't 3 things together that make God, or 3 forms of the one God. But God at heart is made up of 3 beings who share perfect relationship with one another. So I'm going to get you all to hold hands. Look at that. Fantastic. So we have here a wonderful, perfect relationship going on. We have, well done, you've made it. You're God the Father. Good for you. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and they are together in perfect relationship, sharing all they have with each other. And it's, you know, the Father loves the Son and loves the Spirit loves the Father and the Son, and so on and so forth. It just goes round and round and round, this overflowing perfection of love and unity. That ongoing sharing of love gives them relationship. That's what makes them one. They share together everything. But also to share, being together in one, in love and purpose, you also need distinctness. You know, you can't get rid of the Father and still have a shared relationship in the same way. You can't get rid of the Son. You know, they need to be distinct to share the relationship, but the relationship makes them. That is about as clear as I can make the Trinity to you, if I'm honest. It's the ongoing relationship that brings them distinction, because they needed each part to share in that relationship, but also brings them unity, because they share together. And that's a relationship which is actually far beyond anything we can imagine. We celebrate Father's Day today, yet we know that for many, we don't always have easy relationships with our fathers, or indeed in any relationship. The Trinity, however, is the model of perfect relationship, all loving, all giving, all of the time. And one of the ways we can understand the Trinity is that we, as the people of God gathered here, are meant to show just on earth what is going on in heaven. So not only are we meant to love God with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our minds, with all our strength, but we're also to love each other just like this, to be a loving and perfect community where all is shared and all is caring. Now, if you drop your hands, the wonder of the Trinity, however, this isn't just something that happens within the life of God. That actually there is a space here where you and I can belong. Do you want to just join in? That That's something. Join your hands again. Yeah, like that. So you can join in and enter that relationship. That's something which is made possible through Jesus, through his sacrifice, and something we enter when we are baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's not just something that we do with water. It's an ongoing invitation to join into this perfect life of God. So that we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and you and me and everyone else invited to join within that. God welcomes us and invites us to be in relationship with him. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? That perfect image of love which makes God one, which makes God three, is something we're invited to join in, that we can belong and we can receive and give love within that. Thank you very much. You want to come apart? Should we give him a round of applause? Of course, it doesn't fully work like that. I have to put in a small doctrinal correction. We are so different to God that we don't fully yet participate in that way of life and in that way of being. But the idea that God is in a perfect relationship and wants to extend that out to us in the world is a really important thing. And we experience God seeking that relationship with us in different ways. Those words we used when I asked you about the Trinity are really important. We experience God as the creator, the one who makes us, who's made this world, who creates that relationship. We experience God as the Redeemer, the one who saves us and brings us back into that relationship. And God, the Holy Spirit, the one who sustains us in that life of faith. All of those words, creator, redeemer, sustainer, they're big words. But essentially they're an expression of God wanting to seek us out and bring us back into relationship with himself as he enjoys a relationship. So this morning, though it's really difficult to get your head around the mathematics of God, how 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 1, just remember these few points when we think about the Trinity. I want you to celebrate that God invites us to join in his life and his glory, and that's always an invitation that's always open. You know, rejoice that there is a place for us with his love and in his care, even when we're not receiving love and care in this world. And I want you to think just what would it be like to show that community which exists in God here on earth, in this church, in this community, in our borough. What would it be like to truly love one another as God loves us, as God exists within himself? What would it be like to show that this week, this month, this year, in our church and beyond? How can we live like the community God is calling us into? In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.